Acts chapter 7.
We're going to begin reading with verse 51 and just read down through verse 53. 51 through 53 of Acts chapter 7. It says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, whom ye have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege and honor to be in your house this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the songs that we have sung, that we have lifted up our voices and worshiped you in song. And Father, we pray now as your word goes forth that you would allow us to worship you in the truth of your word. We pray, Lord, you would help me to say what you would want me to. Help me to proclaim your word as you would have it proclaimed. And that those that are listening, Lord, would, with listening ears, draw close to you and learn from you and to just glorify Christ Jesus and to have a boldness to go forth and proclaim his name to others. We pray for the prayer requests that have been given, Lord. We especially think of Sister Rosemary and Brother Jared at this time, Lord. We think of Brother Jim that you ask that you would bless him. And Father, we just pray that you would be with those that would love to be here. As we're signing the card for Sister Frieda, Lord, we know that she would love to be here this morning. And we just pray, Lord, that you would watch over her and bless her. Lord, we pray again that you would be honored in the service this morning, that Christ Jesus would be exalted, and that we would truly have come here for you and to worship you. And it's in your Son's name we ask these things. Amen. I've entitled the message, "Faithful Unto Death." Faithful unto death. And this morning we're going to be looking at Stephen. Now, Stephen is an interesting character in the Bible because he is introduced in chapter 6 of the book of Acts. And he is stoned to death in chapter 7 of the book of Acts. We don't have much record on his life. We don't have much record on who he was, but we do know that he was a just man. We know that he was regarded as such because when they voted to instill deacons in the church, it was Stephen's name who was listed first. And he was set to that great office of the church, which we still have today. It's a great honor to be a deacon of one of the Lord's churches. And those that are deacons should take that responsibility very seriously. And I think that those that are deacons here do that. But I think we are also blessed to have good deacons here at this church. And I think it's a blessing that all churches should have good deacons, because there is a lot of things that happen and go on that God has established this office in the church to take care of, to serve the people. And they are a great help for those that God calls as pastors, because they are to help the pastor be able to what? Study and pray. So, we see Stephen called unto this, and it's very shortly after this, he is stoned to death. He is put to death. In just one chapter over. Now, chapter 7 is a very lengthy chapter. And if you read it, it begins with Stephen starting a message, and it ends with his message ends with the words given in verses 51 through 53 that I just read. Now, we're covering great sermons, aren't we? We're looking at great messages, great declarations of the gospel. And you say, well, this message that he gives really wasn't anything spectacular. In fact, I will go on to say this. There's no record, and I don't think anyone was saved as a result of Stephen preaching this message. I don't think anyone was led to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think the Holy Spirit used this message to quicken the heart of his audience that day. In fact, the message that he preached, they so hated it that they drug him out into the street and killed him by throwing rocks at him. So, by worldly standards, by the standards that the world places on the ministry and evangelism, this message was an utter failure. So why in the world am I preaching on this as a series of great messages? Because Stephen faithfully stood up and proclaimed Jesus Christ and stood for the gospel of his resurrected Savior. And he was faithful in doing that even unto death. Now, yes, there may have not been external benefits, or you may not have seen external results of this message. But he was still faithful to God. And that brings me to say this. Results. Keep this in mind, church. Results are not an indicator of good preaching and faithful preaching. Remember that. People being saved and people accepting Christ Jesus, receiving him into their hearts, is not necessarily an indicator of a faithful minister. Okay? Now, if they're truly saved, of course that minister is being faithful. But what I am saying is, on the flip side of that, there are many great faithful pastors, many great faithful men of God who have preached Jesus and him crucified and risen again, and they didn't enjoy much material success by the standards of the world today. Folks, Noah, by the world's standard, was an utter failure in his ministry. He preached for 120 years. The judgment was coming. And when they got on board the boat, when judgment was finally coming and they entered aboard the ark, he looked around and it was him, his wives, his sons, and his sons' wives. 120 years and 8 people were saved. Was he a failure? No. He faithfully proclaimed the word of God, and God saved 8 in mercy. And that's all that was saved. Folks, Jesus, by the account of the world's standards and by the account of evangelism standards, and how many people have you led to Christ? Jesus, in his ministry, would have been considered a failure. Why? Well, we mentioned this last week when thousands walked away from him, and he looked around and there were but 12. He said, "Will you go away also?" They said, "Where else will we go? You have the words of eternal life." Folks, to thousands, and many were saved. Only 12 followed him, and many more rejected him. We believe something here at this church. We believe it because the Bible teaches it. And that is, if a sinner is saved, if someone comes to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, it is because God, in his graciousness and in his mercy, has reached down with a loving arm and showed them Jesus Christ. He has quickened their heart by the Holy Spirit of God and drawn them unto himself. We believe that. I believe that. And when you believe that, you have to realize something. Results, outward results, are not in the hands of men. And by saying that, I lead in with this. That means that a man can be faithful to God, faithful to his ministry, faithful to his word, faithful to his cause, and yet God may not see fit to use that man to reach many people in salvation. But that doesn't make him any less successful than those he does. In fact, I think of a preacher named Merle Wood. I don't know if any of you know Merle Wood. He's since passed and went on to be with the Lord. But he faithfully preached at a little church called Riverview. I get that one and another one mixed up. In Point Pleasant, West Virginia. And I would go and fill in every once in a while for him. And I would go and fill in, and I would preach, and I would prepare, and I would spend time in study as a preacher does. And I would go and stand in that pulpit, and I would preach to six people. And Merle Wood did that faithfully for years. Years. And he went out and he visited. And he went out and he went house to house, knocking on the doors and proclaiming and sharing the gospel with people and inviting them to church. And he went to the hospitals and he worked. And he worked tirelessly there in that small community. And when he would stand before them in the church, there would be six. 10 on a good Sunday. Folks, he wasn't a failure. He was a success. In fact, so much so that I believe men of God that are faithful to him in those circumstances will receive a greater reward than those that are faithful to him, and God blesses them with many fruit, or much fruit. Stephen was faithful in his message and in his ministry, even unto death. And he is a greater success than anyone, you're just as much a success than anyone else that stands and preaches Christ Jesus. Now, Stephen, in this message that we were covering, he calls out four different things to them. In just this small passage, he calls out four different things to them. He calls out a problem. He calls out a pattern. He calls out the prophecy, and he calls out their prideful hypocrisy. Now, I want to start, and I can already tell you I'm probably not going to finish with this message because I spent too long in the introduction, but that's okay. I want to start with the problem found in verse 51. He calls out the problem that these men had. He says in verse 51, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost." He calls them stiff-necked or stubborn. These are religious leaders. These are reverent people amongst the society. These are people that are considered to be the highest of the order. And Stephen calls them stubborn people. Stiff-necked, unwilling to bend, or unwilling to see what is clearly right in front of them. What was right in front of them, folks? Jesus. The holy, just Son of God was right in front of their eyes. And they were stubborn in their self-righteousness, and they hated him. He calls them stubborn, but then he calls them, now this is really, this had to go right through them. And I would say if they were not ready to stone him yet, which I doubt they were really at this point, it was these verses that really, really the straw that broke the camel's back. So this phrase here really instilled anger in these people and hatred in these people, because he said that they were of an uncircumcised heart and ears. Now, you have to remember that Moses, or that Abraham was given this covenant of God of circumcision, wasn't he? It was carried on through Moses. It carried on throughout all the Jewish people. And they took great pride in the fact that God had set them apart and gave them this mark. What was the mark? It was circumcision. Circumcision was a mark that they were the chosen people of God. And Stephen here says to these men, these high priests, these great religious leaders, he says, basically says, you may be circumcised of the flesh, you may be a Jew according to the flesh, but your heart is uncircumcised. You may, according to the flesh, belong to God and a child of God, but your heart is far from Him. And you are uncircumcised of your heart. You don't belong to God. You are not one of God's children. In fact, you are as a stranger to God. In your heart and also in your ears. Why their ears? Well, their heart because of their unbelief. Their ears because of their stubbornness to listen to the words of Christ that was right in front of them, to the prophets that had come before that had proclaimed Christ. Their ears and their hearts said, their flesh said, we are the children of God, but their ears and their hearts said, we want nothing to do with God. Daddy. Think about that. And Stephen proclaimed that to them, and they wanted to kill him for it. In fact, they did kill him for it. But what Stephen is doing here is he's doing what any good, faithful proclaimer of the gospel would do. And he's exposing a problem. You see, they were filled with hate and jealousy and pride, and their heart was corrupted, and Stephen called them out on it. We need to have the same thing done to us from time to time, don't we? In fact, before we were saved, we needed that more than anything. We needed to know what our condition was. And if you are sitting here this morning and if you have not looked in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ for the atonement and the remission of your sins, you need to realize your condition. Your condition is the same as these men that hated this minister of the gospel. Your condition is you are stubborn and rebellious against God, and your heart is an unclean, uncircumcised heart filled with sin, filled with hatred, filled with the lust of this flesh, filled with jealousy, filled with pride, filled with unrighteousness. And you need more than anything to have your heart changed. The only way a person's heart can be changed is when the Holy Spirit of God shows you your condition. And you see that condition. And He also shows you Jesus Christ, who came and laid His life down to save you from your condition. That is the only way a person can be saved. That is important, that we understand the problem. And Stephen calls them out on their problem. Next, he calls them out on the pattern that had taken place. Now, he calls them stiff-necked, uncircumcised of the hearts and the ears. It says, ye always resist the Holy Ghost. Now, here he's basically saying Jesus had walked among them. They had seen miracles, signs, and wonders, and testimonies of Jesus. They had seen the work of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. They had seen the Holy Spirit working in people, saving people, healing people, and yet, with a blinded eye, they refused all those things. Now, he says to them and calls them out on their pattern, which is this. Notice the last phrase in verse 51. As your fathers did, so do you. And then verse 52. Which of the prophets have your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers." So he calls out a pattern. The pattern is this. You're doing the same exact thing that your fathers did before you and your fathers' fathers did before them, or before you. You're doing the same thing. Now, I didn't cover this, but I didn't have enough time to deal with his entire message. Does anyone want to take a guess why? Because verses 1 through 50 of his message are an overview of the history of God's people, the Jewish people. He begins with Abraham, and he begins preaching through Moses, through Joshua, and goes through some prophets, all the way down to Solomon building a temple. And then in verse 51, he rebukes the people. Why in the world did he preach that long or go over the entire Old Testament, basically? Well, this is not the correct theory, but it could be that he knew he was going to be killed and he was trying to get it as long as he could. That's what I would do anyway. If I knew they were going to kill me, I would preach the longest sermon in the history of humanity. But no, the reason he did this, the actual reason he went from Abraham down to Solomon, was he was showing these people everything that was done pointed to Jesus. Everything that God ordained and every man that he chose and everything that happened in the old covenant, it happened all to light the path and lead to the just and holy one, Jesus Christ. Why is he sharing that with them? Because they held those men in high esteem. They regarded Abraham as their father. They regarded Moses as that great prophet whom God sent. They regarded and esteemed these men highly. And Stephen is saying, you're stubborn, you're stiff-necked, and you are full of sin and an uncircumcised heart because you have rejected what has been preached from Abraham all the way down when it was truly the Son of God in flesh in your presence. You refused him. He showed them the pattern. He showed them that their fathers hated the prophets and killed them. And they hated the prophets. And they hated the true prophet. They hated the true messenger of God. They hated God in the flesh. And they killed him. The pattern of their sin is God would raise up a man and they would put them down. That was the pattern. Verse 37 of our text. It talks about Moses here. This is just an example of what he's conveying to them. This is that Moses, verse 37, this is that Moses which saith unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness, which the angels which spake unto him in Mount Sinai, with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Now notice verse 39. To whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying, Aaron, make us gods and go before us, as for Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt. We wot not what is become of him. What's the pattern here? Now, think about this for just a second. These men that are there, that Stephen is talking to, would they regard Moses highly? Yeah. Yeah, they would regard Moses highly. In fact, they would realize very soon that they were wrong, their fathers were wrong on how they treated Moses. They regarded Moses highly, but what he's saying is their fathers, they didn't. In fact, when Moses was up receiving the law, what happened? They would have rather been back in Egypt. So much so that they asked that Aaron would create them a god out of gold. And that's what happened. They sinned against God. They continually sinned against God. And in the wilderness, they complained and they griped. And folks, they didn't treat Moses very good. God raised up a man and they would put him down. And the same pattern happened time and time and time again. And they're following in after this pattern. And Stephen calls them out on this. That as Moses is now esteemed highly, he was hated then. He was rebuked then. He was discarded then. And what he's basically saying is, one day you will see the man you regarded or disregarded, hated, and killed, Jesus, you'll see that you were wrong about him as well. The pattern is they would resist the Holy Ghost by hating the truth. The persecution, then they would persecute the truth by killing the prophets. They would slay the prophets. That's the pattern. That's the pattern. Now, we see that he calls them out on their pattern, but he also calls them out on a prophecy here. Notice what he says at the end of verse 52. He says, we'll read the whole verse 52, which the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain, which showed before the coming of the just one. The prophets showed the coming of the just one. That's what they were doing. The just one. Again, it was all about Jesus. Verses 1 through 50 of this text was all leading to Jesus. The tabernacle which was built was all a picture of Jesus. In fact, if you notice in our text of verse 47, but Solomon built him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? You see, even the tabernacles and the temples, they were all pictures of Jesus and of the heavenly things. And all the prophets, time and time again, would share of one coming, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our scripture reading this morning, it says the foundation is the apostles and the prophets, but Jesus is the chief cornerstone. You see, well, in John chapter 5 and verse 45, it says, it is written that the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Every man heard. I'm at the wrong chapter. John 5, 45. Do not think I will accuse you unto the Father. There is one that accuses even Moses, whom you trust. For if you had believed in Moses, you would have believed in me. For he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Everything pointed to Jesus. The words of Moses pointed to Jesus. When Christ rose again from the dead, he speaks to his apostles, and in Luke 24, verse 27, it says, And then he began from Moses and the prophets to show in the scriptures things concerning who? Himself. Everything pointed to Christ Jesus. But their hatred and their persecuted, they all directed to God's chosen one, and they hated Jesus. Now, if you will, turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. We'll start to wind down here. Matthew chapter 21. I want you to get this last section of the message. I want you to understand how faithful this man was to proclaim his word. Matthew 21, I want you to notice what he begins with in verse 33. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it, built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen. And he went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruit of it. And the husbandman took the servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. And again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said unto themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on the inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do to the husbandmen? And they said unto them, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard and the other husbandmen, which shall render him fruits in their season. You see, time after time, God sent forth servants, prophets, to share about Jesus Christ coming. And time after time, they hated the prophets and they killed them. Over and over again, that's the pattern. They would preach of Jesus, of one to come, and they would get rid of the prophets. Until one day, in the little town of Bethlehem, God sent forth his son to this world. His only begotten son, full of righteousness, full of grace and truth, perfect in all walks of life and in all manner of life, completely pure of sin. And he walked this earth as the express image of God the Father. Surely they would reverence and respect him, right? No. With stiff necks and uncircumcised hearts, they hated him. They hated him. And then we see lastly, I am going to finish this. We see that Stephen calls them out. He calls them out on this prophecy, but he calls them out on their prideful hypocrisy. The end of our text says, I'm in Acts 4, the end of our text says, that he, talking about these people, the just one, of whom ye have been now betrayers and murderers. They betrayed him and they murdered him. And then it says, whom having received the law of disposition of the angels, you have not kept it. They killed Jesus, and yet in their hypocrisy they claimed to be the men of the law, but they did not keep the law. In fact, just by the fact that they hated and betrayed and murdered Christ Jesus showed that they had no respect for the law of God whatsoever. You see, they killed our Savior. And Stephen calls them out on it. He calls them out on it. He says, you're stiff-necked and you're uncircumcised. You have a problem. Your problem is sin. You need to know that. And it's not a new thing. It's been a pattern. You've had a pattern of sinning against God by killing those that God raised up to share about Him. He calls them out on the prophecies that have come forth to show forth of Jesus Christ, yet they hated it. And then He calls them out on their hypocrisy for saying they were men that were holy, men of the law, men that represented God and His Word, yet in their hearts they hated the Word of God because they killed the Word of God. What happened to Stephen as a result of this? Well, I want you to still be in Matthew chapter 21 because we're going to close there. But as a result of this, Acts says, after He spoke those things, when they heard it, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on Him with their teeth. They were angry and they hated Him for saying that to them. And knowing what was about to happen, Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, it says he looked up steadfast into heaven and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand. He saw Christ waiting for him. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. They cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet. A very interesting young man whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He saw Christ. And then he asked of him, Lord, receive my spirit. He knelt down and cried with a loud voice. Notice this last phrase. Lord, lay not this sin on their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, God is a merciful God. God is a long-suffering God. Speaking of long-suffering, be patient with me for just a few more minutes. This is important. God is a long-suffering God to sin. Merciful, gracious, long-suffering. But in a sense, I don't think God answered this prayer of Stephen. Stephen said, don't hold this to their charge. Forgive them of this sin. But this sin of stoning this messenger of God was just another sin in the long pattern that we just talked about. And I believe God did something here when this took place. I believe the fulfillment of that is Matthew chapter 21, after it talks about they would kill his son. In Matthew 21, he gives that parable of the husbandman. And you remember he asked a question. He says, I send servant after servant after servant, and they kill them, and they kill them. And then I send my son, and they kill him. They have no respect or reverence for the things of the husbandman or the things of the owner. They have no respect or reverence for him. And then he says, what will this man do when he comes back? What will he do to these people? You remember what the answer was? They actually got the answer right. They said they would get rid of those husbandmen and they would lend it out to others. They would get rid of them and lend it out to others. And then Jesus says there's a response to that. Notice verse 42. Then Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures the stone which the builder rejected, the same has become the corner, and the Lord's doing is marvelous in our eyes? Very similar to our scripture reading, isn't it? Notice verse 43. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation that bringeth forth fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it fall, it will grind him to powder. Stephen was killed. And you know what happened in Acts chapter 8? You know what happens in Acts chapter 8? The gospel was given to an Ethiopian eunuch. You know what happens in Acts chapter 10? The gospel is proclaimed and given to the Gentiles. God ended that pattern because continually He sent people to His Jewish nation, His chosen people, and continually they rejected Him. And He sent His Son, and they rejected and crucified His Son. And then even Stephen, who is proclaiming Christ Jesus, they reject and they stone. And the very next chapter, God begins to work through other nations, through other people. It's no surprise that predominantly, God is manifesting Himself and revealing Himself through the gospel message to the Gentile people. He's doing that, folks. That's a fulfillment of what He just said here. Now, does that mean that we don't share the gospel to the Jew? Absolutely not. They can still be saved. They can still hear the gospel of God and they can be saved. In fact, I've always heard this and I like it. If it wasn't for the Jewish people bringing the gospel to the Gentiles, we would be lost. So the least we could do is to return the favor and share the gospel to the Jewish people. Now, Chris read a scripture reading this morning. And I want to leave and end on this note. God is primarily working through the Jewish people, but I do believe that He is not done. God is primarily working through the Gentile people, but I do believe that God is not done and has not forsaken His chosen race of Israel. And the greatest thing we can do, because I can promise you this, folks, there are some that go a little overboard with this. And they say, basically they feel as if the Jewish people will be okay no matter what. I can promise you this. If they do not receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will perish in their sins. So the greatest thing that we can do is we can go forth and share the gospel to all men, to our neighbors, but also to the Jewish people, because God is not finished saving His people. All His people, all His elect, both Gentile and Jew. But I do believe He has a people of Jews, a host of Jews that He will save. Stephen was put to death, but He called them out on their problem. He called them out on the pattern of their sin. He called them out on the prophecy of the Holy One, the Just One, and He called them out on their hypocrisy, their prideful hypocrisy that they hated the righteousness of Christ Jesus and put Him to death. Folks, by worldly standards, Stephen was a failure. But I hope you can see he was successful. So much so that Christ Himself showed Himself to him, appeared unto him, granting him entrance into His kingdom. He wasn't a failure. He faithfully proclaimed the Word of God.